Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Zayin. We're still holding at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we just had a contradiction in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Remember the famous Braita of Ayo made it very clear that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira, and there's no such thing as a superposition of Eruvin. The only thing that you can do is you can find out later something that had already happened, but you cannot make the past dependent on what is going to be happening in the future. And the Mishnah said quite the opposite. According to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda went along with the Chachamim that even if the determination is going to be made later, it is going to define the Erev retroactively, which essentially means, since we're not talking about time travel, essentially it means that superposition is defined by my determination. Fine. So if that's the case, then we've got a stira. And so what we said yesterday was, well, we're certainly going to rely on Ayo, not on the Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Breira. And there, we left off with the Gemara's Kasha. What is that supposed to mean? Why would we trust Ayo more than we trust a Mishnah? So today, we're up to Lo Saka Daitach, on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and we say there's no way to entertain that, because we know very well that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira. And that's because we have the Mishnah in Demai. And the Mishnah goes like this. If somebody, we've had this Mishnah many times, Halokeach Yayin Mibein HaKutim. So somebody, now this is talking about obviously before the Gezeira that made Kutim Goyim L'chol Davar, right? So he bought wine, but they certainly are not reliable on taking off Trumas and Maisras. Not for other people, they don't hold them with either. Now I've got a problem. My problem is that I don't have a cup in which I can pour some wine in order to take off the truma and take off the meiser and so on. So I really have no way of drinking my wine. What do I do? Well, you can always use Breira. How would you use Breira? You say like this, look, I'm going to be drinking the wine out of this bottle. Let's hope nobody's looking and my wife doesn't know. So I'm going to leave over two lugin that I will not drink. Those two lugin, out of this 100 lugin that I have, the first two lugin I leave over, the ones that come out on the bottom, that's going to be truma. Then I've got another 10 lugin, which later on will pour out. Those 10 lugin are my serisha, and what's left is 90, approximately, and therefore the 9 lugin that are left are my sersheni, and I am now, well, now? What do you mean? Where is it? What do you mean, where is it? It will be defined later where it is, when it turns out that those are the molecules that were left at the bottom of the wood. What's the problem? I don't have to know where it is right now. I know that there's Meiser Sheni in here, that I need to be Poda. So I am hereby Poda, the Meiser Sheni, which is currently here, but it hasn't happened yet. Apparently we hold a Breira, right? And you can just drink. Just make sure you don't drink too much, because then you're going to be drinking the truma, or you're going to be making a tevo, because you never did leave over those lugin that you said you would. And you could drink right now. So says Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds you could be serving on the breira. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yossi, oh my God. And Rabbi Yehuda. Uh-oh. And Rabbi Shimon, they all argue. I just thought Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue. I thought Rabbi Yehuda went along with Rabbi Meir and the Mishnah. So you're saying Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, they say, no, you can't do that because they don't hold a Breira, apparently, right? So you can't now make retroactively something that's going to be, even though you don't know where it is, there's no such thing. So you see clearly that, again, Rabbi Yehuda is very consistent. He does not hold of Breira. Says Ula, now, come on, throw out Ayo from the Mishnah. I mean, that's a Braita. This is really also a Tosefta. It's not really a Mishnah. And as far as how to understand that Tosefta, no. All we need to do is move a Vav, you know? So the correct Girsa is that when it says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, they're all together Osrin, no. Change the Vav. Ula lists it as pairs, Zuzi. Divrei Rebbe Meir ve Rebbe Yehuda, period. Take out the Vav, okay, that you had put in the wrong place, and now say Rebbe Yossi ve Rebbe Shimon as the other two, so it's two against two here. Rebbe Yehuda went together with Rebbe Meir, and that works out perfectly. It's exactly like our Mishnah, lovely. So Rabbi Yehuda, Osrim. So according to this, Rabbi Yehuda is actually saying the same thing that he said in the Mishnah. I do hold of Brera. Okay, but now, remember we mentioned Rabbi Yossi? And we said Rabbi Yossi, I mean, even according to the way Ula's learning it, Rabbi Yossi is definitely on the other side, which means Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Brera. Is that true? Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Brera. And what about the sugya in Kinim? Now you remember, we're really going all over Shas today. So the sugya in Kinim, you will recall, is that when you have a Yoledet or you have a Zava, so you have to bring two birds. And these two birds, one of them is a Chatas and one of them is an Eilam. And it has to be brought specifically for you. So you buy a ticket in the Beis HaMikdash, it has your name on it, you deposit it in, it's Kinim. The Kohen takes it, takes two birds, and he actually brings one for a chatas for you and one for an oila for you. That's fine. The problem is that you can also obviously buy your own birds, and you can bring them for your chi of chatas or your chi of oila, and you give it to the Kohen. Okay, how about if two women who both owe a korban for Leda or for Ziva, and they bring it, they buy their kinim together, right? So they have two kinim, a total of four birds. They did not say at the time that they bought it. They did not say anything about who owes what or what is the oila and what is the chatas. And, or it could be they just gave the money. So they put their money into a common kitty and they gave that over to the Kohen. They did not say, this is my money, this is her money. We just threw our money in a pile. So then the din is, the Kohen can bring anything that he wants. He can bring one bird for an oila for one woman, one bird for a chatas for one woman, and he does not have to worry that there was basically a mix-up over here in which the bird that, say, for Rachel was being brought for Leah, or that he's mixing up and he's bringing basically two chataot from one khan and two chataot from the other king, or two olot from another, which of course is impossible because you have to be chetzi for chatos, chetzi for Ela. Over here, it remains entirely undefined. And it remains undefined in both issues. Which one was a cane, or it becomes a cane that we put together at the time that he decides, okay, this is the chatos for Rachel and this is the Ela for Rachel. Then it becomes a cane. Furthermore, which one is the chatos, which one is the Ela? Furthermore, which one belongs to Rachel and which one belongs to Leah? All of this is going to be defined ex post facto. Now, over here, the Kohen, he has no right to define the bilus, right? So it must be that what we accept over here is Brera, that each woman in giving in that money accepted that what whichever one the Kohen does, that's my money. So then apparently Rabbi Yossi does believe Brera. And this is a very chomer sugya. I mean, my gosh, we'll be bringing psulei mizbeach, and the women are going to be asuras in kochim, and they're going to be eating kochim. We're talking about isurei kares over here. It's a disaster. So Rabbi Yossi nonetheless accepts Brera. So what are you telling me? You're not really helping very much. You dealt with Rabbi Yehuda by moving the vav, but how are you going to deal with Rabbi Yossi? Omar Rabba, no. This has nothing to do with Brera. Over there, we're talking about that the women themselves were matneh, and they said, we are not establishing bilus at all. And it's not that it's retroactive. It's not that we're saying, okay, this is mine based on what the Kohen will define. Nothing is mine. Nothing is yours. And therefore, so what are you doing? You're saying that we're giving over the rights to the Kohen, right? In other words, initially, we thought that each one has defined based on what the Kohen is doing. And that would be an expression of what was meant to be initially. And now we're understanding that, no, they were saying, we don't want to have something that's specifically ours. And at the time that he brings the korban, he'll give it to us without Brera. So then what's the chiddush? I don't understand. If you're saying there never was anything, why do I need to say it? No, I need to say this point. I need to say that the halacha is that you can actually define a korban at the time of the Hakarava, that's the Chiddush, like Rav Chisda. So even though each cane is supposed to be a cane of two birds, one of which is a Chatas and one of which is an Eila, the halacha is like Reb Chista, and Reb Chista said, "Ein hakinim mitparshot." The only moment that you define which is chatas or which is oila, you have only two possibilities. You can define that at the time that you actually buy them, and that was the lekichat ha-ba'alim. And over here, the ba'alim obviously said beferish, "We don't want to do that." Or it can be at the moment of the asiyat ha-kohen, in which case we understand that we have two, and this is really based on two completely different psukim, because one of the psukim says that v'lakcha shtei torim o shnei v'nei ona, echad l'ola v'echad l'chatat, which implies that she actually buys it, v'lakcha, she buys echad l'ola v'echad l'chatas. And yet we have another pasuk that says v'asa ha-kohen et echad chatat v'echad ola. So therefore, says Reb Chista, well, which way is it? There's obviously two possibilities. One is that the Baalim bring Echad L'chatas and Echad L'ola because that's what they bought. Or the other is the Baalim don't bring anything. It's the Kohen who brings things, which means that the Kohen can actually take two Olas from the same original Cain, because there was nothing that was defined at the time of the Cain, and there's no Breira. And he can take two Olas from the same Cain that was there initially, because he's the one who defines what the Cain is, not only which bird goes to what within a single Cain. So that means that there's really all of the determination, the Lishma Shel HaBa'alim, the Lishma Shel HaKorban, and the definition of which was the interrelated Cain of the two birds, can be done by the Das of the Kohen HaLevi Reb Chista, which is somewhat non-intuitive when you're reading the psukim. And that is a big chiddush, and that was the whole point over here. Okay, but still, I understand you get away with that Mishnah, but it still doesn't make sense, because I have other places where Reb Yossi definitely does not agree to that. You're saying that Reb Yossi holds that there's no Breira. What are you going to do with the following brisa? Ama Aretz Amar L'Chaver. Here we have an Ama Aretz who says to a Chaver, we're not quite sure whether that chaver is a chaver, meaning it's a good friend in Amoretz, or it's a chaver. Kachli aguda acha shel yerek, buy me a bunch of veggies, or buy me a loaf of bread. And he goes ahead, this chaver goes in, and he buys things for himself and for the other person, because he also wanted a loaf of bread, so he buys two loaves of bread, so he buys two bunches of veggies. So then, when he gives that person, this means he was really a chaver, not just a friend, he gives him one of these veggie bunches or one of the loaves of bread. He does not need to take off meiser from the part that he gives away. Because, I mean, normally the halacha is that if I'm going to give to my, then it's my fault, it's my responsibility, and I'm giving it to an Am Haaretz, I need to take off the meiser. But that would only be if I actually bought it for the other guy, right? In over here, if we believe that Breira can define for whom it was brought, so then we can say, I never bought it for me. I was never the owner. I'm not giving it to him. I simply acted as the guy who went to the makolet and handed it over to him. So that would only be true, however, if you hold of Breira, that initially, even though I never said this is mine and this is his, but that initially the purchase was for the part that would end up in the hands of the Ama Aretz, and therefore the Am Haaretz bought it directly. But it's my business to take off Trumas and Meisers for everyone in the world. It was never mine to even take off Trumas and Meisers from. So therefore, we would need for you to believe in Breira for this to work. And Reb Yossi is the one who says, yes, we believe in Breira, and it does not require the Chacham to take the Chavar to take off Meisers. Whereas the Chachamim Dafka are the ones who say, then no, what do you mean? It was yours, and then you got it. You can't use Breira to go back and to say you initially bought it for him. So Dafket's Rabbi Yossi who holds that we do say Breira. And before we read that it was Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon were the ones who said you don't say Breira. And it says the Gemara, look, you have no choice. You're going to have to be epoch. You're going to have to flip the two halakhas over here. And it's Rabbi Yossi who said, you do have to take off Meisr. And it was the Chachamim who hold of Breira who said that you don't take off Meisr. Achi. But there's other places. I mean, what, are you going to change everything that we learn? I mean, there's another Breisa where also it seems that Rabbi Yossi definitely buys into Breira. That's a case like this. A guy says, Maaser sheyesh li bebeiti, I have some maaser sheni in my house, and I want to be mechalel it, mechulal al sela shetale biyadi min hakis. I don't have that sela in my hand right now. It's in my pants in the other room. But he knows that his kids are coming to the house, and he wants to make sure that nobody is nikshal in eating maaser sheni, thinking that he was poda'et. So he says, when I get to put on my pants and I put my hand in my pocket and I take out that sela that I'm going to take out of my pocket, I want to currently be the place where I'm being mechalal my maaser sheni. So Rabbi Yossi says, okay, that's perfectly all right. And the Chachomim there say, no, it's not all right. Okay. I mean, we left that out. But what's important to us is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, mechulal. How can it be mechulal unless the sela that is going to be ola biyodo is an actual defined entity on which he can be mechulal? If there is no such thing as the sela which will be coming up in my hand, because there is no such thing as breira, and therefore, as Rashi says, there was no sela that was going to come up in your hand. The concept is nonsensical. So if you don't know the Brera, those words simply don't say anything. The sela that will come up. There's no sela that will come up. There's only the sela that did come up. Okay, so you cannot refer to something that doesn't exist. So how could you possibly be poda your maaser sheni? You see how beautifully these cases are constructed to make very clear what this concept of Brera is, which, remember, is so beyond the time and the thinking of the people that we're talking about here, living centuries and centuries ago. My God. So utilizing these kinds of sophisticated ideas that only now are coming into the general awareness of people is mamash astonishing. I mean, the way that Chazal are so far ahead in their ability to articulate the conceptual issues, which turn out ultimately to really be definitive of how to understand the Bria itself, which is the dinim in the Torah. His mamash is truly amazing. Anyway, so we're going to have to say over there that we're going to again flip the Chachomim, which do appear over there, but which we didn't quote, and Apo, and Ema Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Chilel, and the Chachomim say Kein Chilel. And so therefore, because we have a Mishnah, we are sort of forced to do this to all of these Brises, because, I mean, we can't accept the Brises here the way they are. So I don't understand. Isn't there another issue, asked the Gemara? I mean, don't we have a concept of two against one? I mean, I understand that a Mishnah, one Mishnah against one Brisa, fine. But, I mean, you've got a Mishnah against three Brises so far. I mean, you've got Ayo, and then you've got the previous flip, and now you've got this flip. I mean, well, shouldn't we just say that the way that we have it in the Mishnah was maybe flipped? Because then you only have to flip one, and then everything then becomes good. Says the Gemara, no. No, you see, we're not flipping it just to make things work out. There is no choice. This braita that we just said is definitely a flipped braita. We know that it's a flipped braita because look at the Seifa. The Seifa says that Rabbi Yossi is moda that in a case where a guy said that the maaser sheni sheyesh li betoch beiti yehei mechulal al sela chadasha sheta'ale biyadi min hakis. So that shall be mechulal on the new coin that comes up from my pocket, that over there it is a kosher maaser sheni, which we're going to explain exactly what that means in a moment. And since Rabbi Yossi says in the case at the end of the braita that it was mechulal, and that he's made that it was mechulal, so that means in the first case of the braita, Rabbi Yossi must have been saying it is not mechulal, and I made in this case that it is mechulal. In which case, it's clear from the actual structure of the braita that we have it flipped, because Rabbi Yossi was saying at the end, but I do agree in this case, we don't know what this case is, we'll talk about it in a moment, but I do agree in this case that it would be okay. So obviously he did not agree in the first case, okay, but it says that he did. So that was a mistake. So we were holding over here in the middle of the complex sugya of Breira, and we're going to continue on to see the various shitot in Breira, and that was all through the lens of the dinim of Erevin. But what we're going to do today, including the daf, the upcoming daf, is we're going to find out that the Gemara also gives us an insight into alternative visions. In other words, the various halachas may be based on completely different theories of how things work, and they all end up being the same in the end in terms of a halacha, but the logic behind them may be extremely different. Okay, so let's sort of remember the chidushin that we've had lately about things that you never would have thought of about Erevin. So one of them was the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda about requiring a mokum arba al arba mokum choshu for your Erev. Another thing that we introduced is the idea that the seuda of the Erev has to be ra'ui niba'od yom. Now that adds a completely new dimension to the old problem of whether it's sof yom kona Erev or tchilas yom kona Erev. Because no matter when kona Erev, the Erev still must be ra'ui niba'od yom. And now we've been entertaining the question of the requirement for the actual kinyan of the Erev. Now remember that started in the Mishnah with the issue of whether you can use a trained elephant or a monkey or a cheresh katan and so on in order to be able to be miniach an Erev. It was clear there that there's an aspect of das that's required at the actual kinyan of the Erev. We're going to see today that that may actually not be a requirement according to everybody, but let's take a look at that. Meanwhile, though, getting back to this stuff, what we're still in the middle of is the determination of who holds what when it comes to the question of the dinim that are based on Breira. So the Breira aspects that we've spoken about was, of course, the Erev itself, where a guy leaves himself open the option of defining either through his own choice or defining through an event that happens in the world, the coming of the tax collectors, the coming of the Chachamim, to a particular place which has not yet happened, or any other event for that matter, a falling star, I mean, whatever it is. Whether that can be koveya, the placement of the Erev, again, from the point of view of people who are moving along thermodynamic time, it would be retroactive in time, from the point of view of Breira, it would mean that essentially this is the way things are. And therefore, in the world that you're in, this is the way they always are. In which case, the Erev would be fine because it was always in the Ma'arav or in the Mizrach or whatever Tanai you had made. That would be the din of Breira as it defines Erev. We also, because of that, we got into the sugya of what do you do if you want to take off Trumas and Maisras in advance, and that led us into a lot of trouble because everybody was contradicting himself according to the way that Ayo quoted that whole sugya. We had problems with Rabbi Yossi contradicting himself and Rabbi Yehuda contradicting himself, and we needed to like change things around because they appeared different ways in different prices. But in that case, we were talking about leaving Trumas and Maisers inside of the same bottle that you're going to be drinking from, and just stipulate that what ends up being left at the end was Truma or Meiser all along. And then you can actually do the pidyon of the Meiser, even though you have no idea where it is. And you could just drink it as it is right now and it would not be drinking Tevel. And there we had a machlokas of whether you can rely on that or not. And there were different ways of sliding the Vav. Do we slide the Vav before Rabbi Yehuda, in which case it would be Rebbe Meir v'Rebbe Yehuda, or do we slide the Vav after Rebbe Yehuda, in which case it would be Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yossi, and Rebbe Shimon, and then they would all three be arguing with Rebbe Meir. Okay, so that gave us a little bit of leeway, but then we had all of these brises where it became clear that, at least according to Ullah, it became clear that the Mishnah is actually more definitive than Ayo and the other brises that were related. And this was the sugya that we were in the middle of, trying to figure out what, in fact, Rabbi Yossi really does hold about Breira, because in the price of Ayo, there was no way to slide the Vav that would include Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Meir, so we ended up with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon definitely not holding a Breira, and then we've got all of these other issues that seems to make it clear that he does hold a Breira. One of them, you recall, was the question of whether it's possible to buy a carbon and then have it redefined later. Not redefined, defined later. We said that has something to do with Breira. That was the last thing that we were talking about. That has something to do with Breira, because over there they simply waited for the Kohen to define it, and that was a Chiddush, that the Kohen can even define the Zugiyut of the king. Not simply which one is which, but he could define even which bird went with the other bird, even if it one was from one king originally, one was from the other. There was nothing that defined that other than the Kohen's actual Asiyah. And then the last, the very last case we had was the question of the chover, who was buying a bunch of veggies in the store. So he bought, let's say, two different, bunches. He brought two different bunches of carrots, right? One of them he gives to the Amoretz, one of them he keeps for himself. It depends how we view that case. If it's with Breira, then if he's a chover and the guy who has to pick up a bunch of carrots for him is an Amoretz, if you hold a Breira, you could simply hand the carrots over to the Amoretz. Because even though at the time that you bought it, you didn't specify, this is the part for me and this is the part for this other guy, the Amoretz, that doesn't mean that you essentially bought both of them and now you're giving one of the ones that you bought to the Amoretz. It simply means that at the time that you decide, that was what you had bought. That's what Breira means. Okay, so if that's the case, it's not my business, the Meiser, everything that this guy bought. I simply did the act of giving the money. So that was our problem over there, in which we had Rabbi Yossi apparently holding a Breira, because he says you don't have to take off Meiser. So there was nothing to do other than apparently holding a Breira, and we said he doesn't hold a Breira. There's nothing to do except to flip it. Now, we've been flipping everybody around, flipping Vavs around, flipping Shitas around, trying to work out who exactly holds what. So now, I'm sorry, we actually had gone beyond that. Well, we did pretty good yesterday. We had done one additional case, and that was the case of a guy who says that the coin that I will end up taking out of my wallet is the coin that I am currently taking my pidyon of my Sasheni. And over there, again, the question was, Rabbi Yossi says, that's okay, you could be mechalal it, which would mean he holds a meiser, because otherwise there is no coin at this moment that you are going to pick up. Or maybe in a deterministic universe, the one that you were going to pick up, I mean, in an indeterminate universe, the one that you were going to pick up was not the one that you ended up picking up, because who knows what factors got in the world in the way. But that doesn't mean that you're all the Meiser, and we ended up having to flip again. So the Gemara that we're currently involved in wants to know what right we have to ignore a Mishnah in favor of a Braita, and we ended up showing why we've got this, all of these Braises in one direction, and that bothered us because we were basically saying that the Mishnah is going to be more important than any number of Braises. Which, that we never said. I mean, if we've got a lot of braises that are saying one thing, which is the opposite sheet of the Mishnah, why would we stick with the Mishnah instead of the preponderance of evidence that tells us that the Shitot are actually different than the Mishnah records it? So what we looked at over there, and this is precisely what we're in the middle of, what we looked at over there was the fact that the Braita itself indicates that Rabbi Yossi had, in fact, had said it's not considered to be Mechulal on that coin, and he does not hold a Breira, the coin that you are going to pick out of your wallet. And the reason was because at the end of that Braita it says, but Rabbi Yossi is Mota, that if you said the new coin that I'm going to pick up, then it would be. So what do you mean? He's Mota. I thought all along he's been saying that it's Meiser. So obviously our Girsa that said in the beginning that Rabbi Yossi held that it was Mecholo is wrong. It must have been in the first part he said it's not Mecholo, and then the end of the Braiser records that he's moded that it would be Mecholo if it was a new coin. That's where we ended up. Now, of course, that made no sense, because who cares if it's a new coin or an old coin? And it does say over there, the new coin that I will pick out of the wallet. So that's where we were up to, and we wanted to understand what the meaning was of a new coin. We had run out of time. So let us please look at the words, Hai Sela Chadasha Hechidami. And that's like about five lines up from the middle of the dot. So Hai Sela Chadasha Hechidami. You're talking about a new coin. Who the heck cares about a new coin? I mean, what's the case? Do you have two or three of these new coins? So then that you're saying Yesh Breira. So then that was the first case. I thought the first case he said, no, I don't know the Breira. So I know Kamaita. So therefore, what it's got to be talking about is that there's really only one coin. But if there's only one coin, then why did he say the one that will come up? I mean, there is no one that will come up. There's only one. Yeah, that's true. That was just loose, says the Gemara, because we use the word ta'ale, the one that comes up in the first place where we had a number of coins. We use the word the new coin that will come up, but we trust the reader to understand that obviously the only way that makes any sense at all is meaning that new coin that will come up, because it's all that there is the one that will be there. Of course, he's made it. Okay. Says Rava to Rav Nachman. Now, who is the Tana that I'm about to show you who doesn't hold a Breira, even when it comes to a Drabbonan who doesn't hold a Breira? Now, look, that's a very funny question to ask because we just got finished dealing with the question of the Eruv, which is a Drabbonan, and we just saw that we had all of the questions here stating that if you don't hold a Breira, then that Breira, that Eruv, would not be good. That's what we were originally showing off to be the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and so on. So what kind of weird question is that? The Gemara is going to ask later, what do you mean? Who's the Tana? We know who the Tana is. Didn't we read that in the Braita? And the Gemara is going to say that actually Rava hadn't learned the Braita of Ayo, and that at this point, Reb Nachman didn't know it, and because of that, we were looking for alternatives. Okay, so Rava asked Reb Nachman, I'm going to show you that there is a Tana that says you can't rely on Breira even where it comes to a Dirabbana. Now, that is a fascinating issue, by the way, and I want you to think about it, because Breira seems to be a description of the state of the universe. It would have nothing to do with a D'oraisa or a Dirabbana. And the Rishonim are very concerned about why would anybody think that there could be a difference in terms of Breira between a D'oraisa and a Rabbana. And in fact, later on, we're going to find a sheet that it says, Beferish, you can't do that. Either there is Breira in the universe or there isn't. I mean, this is not a halachic fiction. This is the way things are. But in any event, Rava apparently took it for granted that the Rabbanan, if they would have made a takona, they would have made it loosely enough to allow for the elements in the world that imply Breira. And therefore, they would have allowed you to be semich on Breira. Okay, this, of course, is even today, is a machlokas about how to understand quantum theory, whether this is really a description of a state of the universe, or is it a multi-world kind of thing, and so on. So it isn't really clear. If you have different interpretations about the things that seem to say to us that there are Breira, according to some, they're not really that there's Breira. According to others, they are. So then the Rabbanan would have allowed you to be semich on those approaches that say that there's Breira. That's not so crazy. Of course, at the time of the Rishonim, it wasn't known that there could be different interpretations. Anyway, the Tanya. So it says in the Braita like this. And here's where I want to show you, says Rav Nachman, that there's definitely some Tanya that seems to hold that you don't say Breira on a Derabbanan. And that is, you tell five friends of yours, look, guys, I'm putting out an Erev, okay? Now, I'm going to give that Erev to one of you. I haven't made up my mind. And the one that I end up deciding is the one that the Erev is for. He's the guy that I've chosen to go out and to greet the Chacham or whatever it is. He's the one that can go out to the Sheva Brachas, so on. So if I want you to go out on Shabbos, then it's for you. If I don't, then you're not allowed to go. So then the halacha is, if he wanted it and defined who it is before Shabbos, oh, that's okay. But he can't do it if after it's already Mishkan Shecha, then it's not. So obviously, this Tana does not hold of Eruv based on a decision made on Shabbos. So who is that? I don't know who would hold that, says Rava to Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman didn't know. Ishtik, he could not figure out who that was. Says, well, what do you mean you could not figure out who that was? Why didn't he say, this is the Tana Devei Ayohu? That's the Braita that we had of Ayo. And he says that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Breira when it comes to the Din of Erevin. So what's the issue? No, they hadn't heard that Braisa of Ayo Shita in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef is shocked when he hears Rava's question. Remember that Rabbi Yosef was called Sinai. And he was the one that was this tremendous Baki and all of the Tanayim, all of the Brises, all of the Mishnayas. So Rabbi Yosef says, what the heck? I mean, Tanoi Shakalta Mi'alma, I understand, well, like you have cut out, you know, which take a pair of scissors and cut out the Tanoim that you don't want to know about? What's the matter with you? I thought any idiot knows that. There's the Brisa. A guy takes a bottle of Richie's grape juice. He puts it up in a place where he wants to be able to go. But he hasn't made up his mind now what Shabbos he's going to go. So what he does is he puts it up there and he says, look, this bottle of grape juice is going to last the whole year. And basically, I'm going to make an Erev for any Shabbos that I decide I want to go. And I'm going to leave it all year. I don't need to run out and make an Erev all the time. So Ratziti, if I decide on one Shabbos, I want to go visit my friend who's outside of the Tchum, then I'm going to go. And if I decide I don't want to go, so then I won't go. And then I'm going to be able to move in the other direction because I don't lose anything in having the Erev over here if I don't want to go. If he chooses during the daytime on Erev Shabbos, fine, then it works. But he can't choose on Shabbos. That's what the Tanna Kamma says, which means no Breira. Rabbi Shimon says, why not? He can choose whenever he wants, and then Breira will make that Erev effective because it was his Makom Shvisa before Shabbos. Whereas the Chachomim say that his Erev is not an Erev. Sorry, Rabbi Shimon Omer Eruvo Erev. His Erev is an Erev, apparently, because here Rabbi Shimon is saying that you can rely on Erev. And the Chachomim say, no, in Eruvo Erev. So now we found a Tana. We don't know his name, but there is a Chachomim over here who argues with Rabbi Shimon, and they say, nope, it's not an Erev, even at a Drabana. Wait a minute, for God's sake. Rabbi Shimon was the one that was quoted in the four-way machlokas with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who doesn't hold a Breira. Darn it, it drives me crazy. Every time I figure out who holds what, you bring me something else where that person says the opposite. Hashem, I knew Rabbi Shimon to let lay Breira. So now we have a contradiction, you're telling me. Just before, we said Rabbi Shimon is the one who says Ein Breira with the story of buying the wine from the Kutim, right? So it says over there, Rabbi Shimon says, what do you mean? You can't rely on that. Then you won't be allowed to drink it. Okay. Flip this one too. Okay. So instead of Rabbi Shimon being the one who is saying that you can rely on the Breira, it was actually the Chachomim who said that the Erev is kosher because they do hold the Breira, and it's Rabbi Shimon who holds that the Erev is not kosher because he doesn't hold the Breira. But meanwhile, have we or have we not identified a Tana, says Rabbi Yosef? Of course we have. So I don't understand what kind of weird thing is going on over here. Rabbi doesn't know Tanoim, Rabbi Nachman doesn't know Tanoim. The world has forgotten how to learn. Ridiculous. And wait a second. Another one of these flips, says the Gemara. Why do we need to flip it? Maybe Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Breira because he doesn't hold Breira in a Diaraisa. And the question over there about Meiser and Truma, that was Diaraisa, but in the Rabbanan he does, and then we don't have to flip it. Because, I mean, wasn't that the whole point? That Rava was saying, look, I want to figure out who is the Tana that doesn't hold of Breira even in a Darabonah. So obviously it was taken for granted as a difference between a Darabonah and the Uraisa. So then I didn't understand. The whole point of bringing this Breita was to answer Rav and say, see, here we've got somebody who holds, namely Rabbi Shimon, who holds of Breira in the Darabonah, and the Chachamim who even in the Darabonah don't. What? Didn't Rabbi Shimon say before he doesn't hold the Breira where before? But about Truma and Meiser from buying from the Kuti? That's a Diraisa. That's not a Drabbanah. So you're telling me that I don't know the Tanoim? This is not a Machlokas. It works out fine. No, because Rabbi Yosef, who was the one that said there's no choice but to flip this, Rabbi Yosef actually holds that Breira is a description of reality without alternative explanations. And therefore, either your understanding of the nature of the universe allows for Breira, or it doesn't. You can't play games about a difference between a Diraisa and a Drabana. It's absurd. It's not a question of the Kula of Lachumra. So, Mandi Itle Breira, Loshna B'Diraisa, Loshna B'Drabana. Itle. Either you hold that this is the way the world is, or you don't. Manda Letle Breira. If you don't hold of Breira, then you don't hold of Breira as a fact of life, not as a matter of halacha. And therefore, Loshna B'Diraisa, Loshna B'Drabana Itle. So, according to Rabbi Yosef, there would be only one interpretation of the way that the universe presents itself as holding of Breira. Rava Amar? Rava says that actually there's no need to even deal with this issue. And here is a completely alternative explanation that has nothing in common with the Breira issue whatsoever. And this is a brilliant explanation. There is a factor that we completely forgot about. And you know, it's wonderful the way that the Gemara does this, because basically this is what you have to learn to do when you're evaluating experimental results. Basically, when we bring all of these shitas, these are experimental results about what is the shita, lagabi, all of these things. But if you ignore a factor, so then the experiment is not saying what you think it's saying. So over here, you have a din about taking off truma without needing to put it into a cup, right? And you're assuming that that is dependent on Brera. Well, maybe it's not dependent on Brera, because there may be another factor, and that factor is this. When the Torah says reshit, and it calls truma reshit, what does that mean? Is reshit just a beginning? No. Reshit confers a status of something that has emerged from something else. It means emergence. That's what reshit means. So how can something emerge from something else when there's no change that's evident? It hasn't emerged. You're calling it truma. Okay, where's the emerged piece of truma? It's somewhere stuck here in the middle of the bottle. So truma, by definition, requires a reshis that is differentiated from the non-reshis. That's called the inan reshit shishiorea nikarim. You've got to be able to see what isn't the reshis in order to have a reshis. And that's the problem over here. It's nothing to do with Brera. Nobody's smiling. Nobody's having fun. You know what? Maybe I should just close my screen and I'll pretend in my mind's eye that everybody is smiling with me and enjoying things and so on. And then I'll be able to have some fun.
I didn't understand.
That was great.
Can Rebbe explain again?
Saying doesn't help.
No, Rebbe, I've been
the whole point of Zoom is to be able to have the interrelationship of expressions, not the kind of people that hide behind their name. You don't need to come to Zoom if you want to hide behind the name, you know? Jeez. Anyway.
Can Rebbe explain again? Sorry, Rebbe.
Yes, the concept of reshis means that something has emerged that wasn't there before, right? So if it's emerged, it has to actually emerge. You can't say it's theoretically in here somewhere. That's a contradiction to the meaning of the word of reshis. It's brilliant. So therefore, if you don't have a reshis shiorea nikarim, you cannot apply Brera. Because the point of Brera is that we're allowed to rely on the fact that you could collapse a wave function, so to speak, if that's the way you want to interpret it. But that's not going to help you, because when it comes to reshis, that doesn't make it reshis. It only makes it theoretically reshis. There is no such thing as a theoretical reshis. It has to be nikar. Omer Abai, whoa, that is a big kiddush, okay? I'm not so sure that that's true. I mean, according to what you're saying, right? So let's say somebody comes to you and he had two pomegranates. This guy comes along, Rishnei Rimonim, both of them are Tevel, and he makes dependent on an event, a random event. So he says, so this guy's really into Brera, you know? So he takes a random event and he assumes that the most random event he can get is the weather. Okay. Not a bad assumption. So here this guy is worrying about the butterfly effect, right? So he says like this, if there will be rain today, so then I want pomegranate A to be the truma for pomegranate B. But if the butterfly flies in some other direction and then there is no rain today, so then I want pomegranate B to be truma pomegranate A. Oh, wow. Beautiful, right? So now, would you actually say that whether it rains or whether it doesn't rain, there's no truma? I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying that no matter what happens, there can't be truma because it will never... that's simply hilarious thinking. So it'll never be truma because according to you, you will never have truma shishira nikarim. So how about that? And if you try to tell me, yes, that is in fact an implication of what I'm saying, and what do you care? What's so terrible about that implication? So maybe you'll try to tell me that. V'chite ma'achinami, I can prove to you that it isn't so. Because as we know, we have our Mishnah that says, Trumat akri hazeh u'ma'asrotav bitocho. If a guy says, okay, I want to take off truma, and it's in the middle of this whole pile of grain, right? Or he has a pile of miser, he's a levy, and he says, okay, the truma miser of this pile is inside of the pile. So Rabbi Shimon says, whew, okay, that guy actually made it truma. Now he has no idea where the truma is, right? So he can't eat it, because he said somewhere in here, you know, you can't eat it. So what's the difference? If kar hashem, there's a big difference if kar hashem. Because before he put the truma into it, or the maisers into it, or whatever, if he would have eaten it, he would have been over on one iser. And that is the iser of achilas tevel. Now he's going to be over on all kinds of different things. He's going to be over on a zar that's ochel truma. He's going to be over on eating maisers sheni chutz Yerushalayim. He's going to be chayef to pay for the truma to a kohen. I mean, it makes tremendous differences, right? Am I going to eat this be'iser tevel, or am I going to eat this be'iser because I'm eating truma, or suffer truma, or bites, and so on, right? Okay, so Rabbi Shimon says, look, man, you're in big trouble, because now you said that it's truma. Now, can you see where the truma is? So, according to you, since it's not truma, shishiyareh nikarim, why is this truma? Doesn't make any sense, okay? Fine. Shiny awesome, well, it's different over there. Because basically, you always have something that is nikar. Because remember, the guy said, inside of the kri. Okay? That doesn't mean anywhere. It doesn't mean somewhere inside. It means it needs to be surrounded by things that are not truma, correct? So that means that anything that is like along the edges and is lying on the ground right outside of that kri is definitely not part of it. So then that means that now there's no limit to how much truma I can take out. So then that means that basically I have certainly said, okay, see that? That's not truma. So then that is enough to be called shiareh nikarim. Okay. V'boy tema. Or, you know what? This whole thing may be a joke. We've been taking this story about the problem of the taking off meiser inside of the bottle that the wine is in as being entirely about all of these theoretical issues. You need truma, shiareh nikarim, or is it a question of trusting the din of Breira? You didn't read the end of the Breita, my friends. The real reason that Rabbi Shimon doesn't like the idea of taking off the wine from the kusim is not because he doesn't like Breira. He loves Breira. His problem is you cannot rely on Breira, as it says over there, Kediktani Taina. Say, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, or maybe Rabbi Yudah, depending on where the Vav is, to Rabbi Meir. Look, it's all very nice to say what is going to end up being at the bottom of the bottle. What happens if the bottle breaks? You're not taking into consideration all of the various states of the universe. You're pretending that there's two states. Either this is what was left on the bottom or something else was left on the bottom, but that's not true. If the bottle breaks, then nothing is left on the bottom, in which case there never was anything to be left on the bottom if you hold a Breira. And now you're limiting, basically, you are limiting your wave function to something that doesn't take into consideration the world around it, which is absurd. And because of that, you cannot rely on Breira in this case. Wouldn't you admit that if the bottle broke, then that guy was drinking Tevel the whole time? So Shema Yibaka Anoda, what happens if the flask breaks? To which Rabbi Meir responds, look, buddy, when it happens, I'll worry about it. Meaning that I take into consideration likely events and not events that may just come out of left field. I don't believe to take that into consideration. But anyway, what it's saying over here is very clearly that Rabbi Shimon's objection was a logistical objection. What happens if the bottle breaks? But he seems to agree to the overall idea that you certainly have Breira. Hey, wait a minute. Are we crazy? So then everybody was trying to give all of these other explanations. Oh, but you need reishishi around Nikarim. Why did anybody bring up a question of breaking bottles if there were these big theoretical questions that were involved? Why was it reduced to logistics? You got to be crazy if you read that Bryce, so then you know perfectly well that you have no right to make all of these issues about Breira or Tshareh Nikorim. He said what his problem is. His problem is a logistical problem. What happens if the bottle breaks? No, because they understood the Bryce, you see, that actually what he was saying, Rabbi Shimon, was not what he believed. He held that there was Bichlal no Breira. So why did he bring up logistics? Because he was telling Rabbi Meir, look, according to us, either there's no brera, or according to us, you need truma that she around the Karim, whatever, the theoretical issue. You don't agree to that, fine. But even if you don't agree to that, don't you have to agree to the fact that your application is wrong because of the logistical problem of Shema Yibaka Anod? That's what they were saying. And their nitzer shotet valim, and on that, Rabbi Meir says, logistics, you only have to worry about what is reasonable. You don't want it to break, hire somebody to watch it.